You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
First of all, most of our listeners wouldn't even be aware that this was an issue. Can you explain to me a bit about why legal barriers on the use of posthumous data is a problem for medical professionals?
Yeah, well, first of all, it wasn't an issue until recently. So what's happened historically with healthcare records is they've probably been kept on paper. They've probably been kept by separate practitioners, so your DHB would have a copy, your other records would be held by your GP. With the advent of digital technology, or rather the increase in digital technology and storage of digital information, now we're able to not only keep healthcare records almost infinitely, but we're also starting to see centralisation of healthcare records. So what that means is that in some instances you have DHBs sending their healthcare records to a central provider. It's potentially likely that in New Zealand we'll just have one digital healthcare provider who will store all our healthcare records, and the DHBs will operate through them, but that's yet to be seen. Overseas, we're seeing countries organise their healthcare databases so that they have central access and everything stored in a central repository. So up until recently, this wasn't really an issue in terms of both access and value. But what we're seeing now overseas is that large-scale healthcare data sets are becoming increasingly valuable for what they tell us about our populations in terms of disease and health. So this hasn't been an issue, but now that we're seeing an increasing digitisation of our healthcare records in New Zealand, it's starting to be something that we should be thinking about in terms of our national healthcare records. What do we want to do with them? Researchers think they're particularly valuable. They're a treasure for New Zealand. The thing is, what do New Zealanders want to do with them?
And what sort of things need to change to make this data more accessible and sort of easier to use for healthcare researchers?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we're thinking about two things there. One is healthcare researcher access, and should we make it available? The other one is what do we do about understanding what people's preferences are and should it be used? So what we're doing at the moment is going through the first steps of going out and undertaking research to see, is this something that New Zealanders want to do? And if so, in what circumstances? I think that the ease of access to healthcare researchers will come. So what we're seeing overseas, I use Iceland and Estonia as examples, is that they have systems in place and they've put a regulatory framework and laws in place so that people can access this data for healthcare purposes. In New Zealand, we don't really have any protection as yet. We have no guidance or governance about what should or should not happen to posthumous healthcare records. And so this is something we're coming to now. So I think access will come. It's just in which shape or form. The Australian government and New Zealand governments have already signalled that healthcare data is valuable and they would like used for the benefit of their countries. The question is now, how do we protect the rights of New Zealanders and how do we find out about what New Zealanders' preferences are for how this information is used?
I mean, the report did comment on the fact that the deceased cannot be harmed by information being shared since it already did. But there may be cases where maybe it was against the wishes of a certain person for the information to be shared, or maybe they think that would sort of change the way that people view them or something if this information's available. Do you think there are sort of ethical problems in making the data accessible, potentially without the consent of the person who has passed away?
Yes, there are, and these are cropping up overseas in countries where they do have widespread centralisation. So the issue of privacy is one I think you're referring to there.
Yeah.
And our Privacy Act covers us until we die. The Privacy Act doesn't cover people that are dead. But the Privacy Commissioner himself has said that the use of digital data needs to be revisited, and perhaps it's time to look at establishing some sort of regulatory framework to deal with this. What we didn't have 10 or 20 years ago, when you have revisions of the Privacy Act coming through, is an understanding of how relevant digital data may be to subsequent generations. So if you think about your own individual genome, it belongs to you, but it also belongs to your family. So you also have issues around heritability and about what other generations may or may not want done with your genomic data. So there's those issues. There's issues about anonymity, where we're it's suggested now that absolute anonymity is very, very difficult to control in a digital environment, and about informed consent. So these are kind of first principles of bioethics. You really want for most experimental work to have informed consent and anonymity, and both of those are increasingly difficult, and especially if you've got people who are deceased who can't give their consent, obviously.
And so you said that countries like Iceland are sort of introducing regulatory framework to sort of make it more ethically clear about what people want done with their data. Why do you think New Zealand has been a bit behind in areas that sort of surround the use of data?
Iceland and Estonia were very quick off the mark to think about how digitization and centralization could be used for benefit of their country. I'm unclear why we've lag behind. I wouldn't exactly call it lag behind. I think we've started digitising. It's just been maybe not a priority in a particular space. But I think the benefits are reasonably clear. It's the how to get to the end game and what sort of thresholds and what sort of ethical frameworks we've put in place so that we're using data appropriately and that our communities are on board with such usage.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about the report?
So I think it's highly likely that there will need to be investigations looking into different cultural groups, governance and guidance too. So with biobanking, which is the storage and utilisation of tissue samples, Māori have already established through the good research of Maui Hudson at the University of Waikato that they have a particular governance framework and structure that they'd like to employ. There's also the group that are looking at Māori data sovereignty. There'll be some of the people that I'll be getting in touch with to look at the differences between how the wider community and how the Māori community may like to treat data of this kind. So it's not just a one-size-fits-all issue, I think. There has to be reasonably wide consultation so we get everyone's perspectives and we try and do it once and do it right.
Do you think that this is something that the government really needs to get behind as sort of the research into different cultural backgrounds and how they want this data treated when they do digitise it all?
Yeah, I think the government will be supportive. I think the push needs to come from the funding bodies who are going to be supporting the medical researchers in the next 5 to 10 years. But all of the groups involved, all of the stakeholder groups involved are aware that this is becoming an issue. And I've encountered nothing but support for the initiatives that we're proposing. So I think that's a good sign. And I think following on from the work that's been done overseas, I think we'll hopefully be successful in carrying out our projects and providing some information that can help shape ethical and regulatory frameworks in the next couple of years.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.